Again, I would say Merry Christmas. It's good to be here. It's good to be here together. You know, the vagaries of winter weather this past week, I suspect, disrupted some things in your lives. It certainly did in this cathedral community. We had to postpone our Christmas pageant from last Tuesday, and we've rescheduled it for January 6th. Now, that may seem an odd date to some of you, since by then commercial Christmas will have already given way to Valentine's Day displays in the stores. But I would suggest to you tonight that January 6th is actually quite fitting for the work of wrapping up our Christmas celebration, bookended in tonight's festive start to the season. And there's nothing quite like the ebullient joy of a pageant to sing and set our hearts aright to the beautiful hope of Christmas. That's what we're doing tonight. We'll do it again January 6th and several times in between, because you know there are 12 days into the Christmas season. You know that, right? Yeah, all right. The truth is, friends, we are invited to revel in this feast of Christmas for nigh on a fortnight, which then on January 6th yields to the Magi, a.k.a. the wise men, a.k.a. the three kings. You know the story. They go and they visit infant Jesus in Bethlehem, guided by a star. And presumably Jesus is still swaddled in his manger bed, about which we just heard, when the procession of these foreign dignitaries comes a-calling. Now, in our version of the pageant here, the procession of the Magi, the three kings, is the grand centerpiece of action. They come parading down the cathedral aisles here. Three ranks of banner-waving, vestment-wearing, gift-bearing kids of all ages, and I mean all ages. They are singing their songs of expectant praise. Some are riding carts as stand-in for camels. We forego live camels here, in case you didn't know. The cathedral dean says, thanks be to God. There's a point to me telling you all of this here tonight. I want to unpack it a bit. In the pageant, you see, the children bring gifts to present on the altar here, symbolizing the gold and frankincense and myrrh, which by tradition were brought to Jesus during that first Christmas season. But the presents that we actually use in our pageant are relics of the cathedral. That is, they are items that bear special meaning and value for this community. We all have such things in our lives. What are the relics of special value that help you tell your life story? That's what we're trying to do with the children here. The cathedral relics connect us to something larger than ourselves. So let me just give you a few brief examples. The children bring this grand sterling silver offertory plate. It's about this big around, given to St. Mark's in 1909 by a man who served in the Civil War and who later became Seattle's postmaster. And so the children have this connection with him and his story. And when we present our offerings tonight, we're doing something of the same in our own way. In the pageant, a brass vase is brought forward, symbolizing the gift of gold. The vase was given a century ago in memory of a man who died on the Titanic. He was last seen assisting others to the lifeboats. But his funeral, without a body, was held at St. Mark's in June of 2012, 2 months after he perished at sea. And friends, we still use those vases for flowers adorning our worship spaces. And through them, you see, we are tethered to the stories of our forebears in the procession of the faithful that has formed across the generations in lockstep purpose for why we come here. We come to sing our praises to God in this place. A third thing that the children bring is an incense thurible. It was forged in St. Petersburg, Russia. A thurible is the ancient vessel used to burn incense, frankincense, that like the one we're using this evening in the service. The incense is designed to lift our senses to the presence of the divine mystery in our midst. And another last thing I will tell you about in the pageant, a ceremonial silver trowel with precious gemstones on the handle is brought forth. It was originally used in 1928 to lay that cornerstone in front of that pillar, the cathedral's cornerstone. It's blocked by the flowers tonight. But this cornerstone reminds us that we are part of something larger here. And Christ is our chief cornerstone. And so here in a bit, when we gather around this table to be nourished by bread and wine in this cathedral, we are claiming that mystical connection to be the body of Christ in this world. We're sent back out into this world, nourished to be that body. So all that we do here tonight is in service to the proposition that God has chosen to come to dwell among us so that we might have life and have it abundantly. And that's the beautiful gift of Christmas. And the feast of Christmas, our actions, are our incarnational way of enacting that beautiful truth that God dwells with us. Yes, we've come to hear a delightful story harking back to a stable in ancient Palestine. But if we confine Christmas to just that story and leave it there, detached from any real sense of our participation here and now, we will miss the full power of that story and its bearing on our lives today. Now, on the other hand, if we go too far into the orbit of church doctrine, don't fall asleep on me now. You see, if we're just claiming that Christmas is the church's way of explaining the mystery of God's presence in the world, if that's all that we do and just make it a mental exercise, we risk constraining the mystery and the beautiful gift of Christmas in a way that renders it less imminent and alive for us. No, Christmas must be both a quaint story and a sacred doctrine, but it becomes much, much more when we cue the Christmas procession in our own lives, bringing the gifts that help us know our place in God's eternal story of hope and healing for all creation. That's what we're doing tonight. We're laying claim to our part in the story that is unfolding even here and even now. And Christmas is the occasion for us to have a hands-on relationship with God who claims this world worthy enough to come and be with us and claims all of us as beloved. Tonight, we are invited to revel in the experience of Christmas, to take our place in the procession of joy and glad tidings. We do this liturgical work incarnationally and with abandon. I saw some of you tapping your toes and swaying with the carols. You know them. It's the only way this makes sense is to do it with our whole bodies. We are all children of God, and tonight we are given permission once again to unleash the creative spirit in us, to discover that what divine truth and beauty lie in us, to experience it and then go and express it in the world that desperately needs to hear good news. And we have good news to share, friends. So let your life be changed by this Christmas gift of God with us. Live this next year by the light of its hope in your life. Join the procession that proclaims that God is up to something here and now and is inviting us to be a part in it. Live and love as if Christ has been born in your heart, because Christ has, my friends. And that's the good news we can share. May it be so. Merry Christmas.